Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. That's Bob Mackowitz. I'm Matthew Cos. We're brought to you by Jeff Pollock. He's a lawyer. He's our lawyer. He should be your lawyer. How do you find more information about a man who's been in our lives for many years? You go to jeffpollock.com. It's easy. It's simple. It's G with a Jeff. Don't trust a Jeff Pollock with a J. You need the G. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
As you're talking, I'm thinking about how I'm so spoiled in life. Because I have a lawyer in Jeff and a driver in my wife.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure I don't deserve any of that, but I'm grateful, and you must know what that feels like.
Yes, I do. I am very familiar. I don't know why I just thought of this. We were this way off topic. Early in It's a Wonderful Life, when they're watching Mr. Potter come in and he's on a horseback, being on a horse carriage, and the voiceover of Clarence goes, "Ooh, is that a king?" And it's like, "No, that's the richest man in town." That's like you. "Oh, look at Bob with his lawyer and his driver. Is he a king?"
That's really funny, and I don't think anyone has ever seen me that way, and I'll take it. Yeah. I like it. Okay, so in a lot of ways, the first half of this show is going to be all you, because people may not know this about you. You are a Raptors fan, but before you were a Raptors fan, you've been with the Knicks since you were a little kid. Correct. You and I have gone to see the Knicks play the Raptors in the playoffs, leading to the funniest, worst heckle of all time by you.
That's right.
Matt asked Marcus Camby if, when his sister had been kidnapped, if they'd also kidnapped his shot.
Now, hold on. It was his sister and his mother. They were being held hostage. They were not kidnapped. They were held hostage in their home, an incredibly scary, traumatic moment in their lives that they will never forget. And they had been released by the time of this game. Everyone was safe. And I did wait for that moment when the Knicks made a free throw and it was silent. And I yelled out, "Hey, Marcus, the kidnappers called. They've got your shot hostage," to which some people laughed. Some people didn't. It was a moment. It was over 25 years ago.
Oh, God. What did you yell when we were at the Mavs game? Do you remember? It was someone who had a lot of kids and you kept calling him your dad?
It was Juwan Howard.
That was it.
And at the moment... And this is the best time to heckle at a basketball game. When an opponent sinks a free throw, there's 2 seconds, everyone goes quiet. And I yelled out to Juwan, "Are you my father?" And then I said, "Juwan, I got straight A's. Why aren't you proud of your son?"
I was proud of you, Matt.
Thank you.
You were everyone's hero because we all went out partying with Mark Cuban, but you and him really had fun.
We did. This was a long time ago before he was married, and other guest booker, Amy Sala. We went to a strip club. We made friends with people at the strip club. They invited us to their place. And then I had to leave before him because I had to do a McMaster football game for the radio the next day. So at around 2 or so in the morning, I'm like, I got to leave because the voice of 93.3 CFMU has got to call a McMaster Waterloo Warriors game.
You are pro. Top to bottom, you are pro.
Yeah.
So anyway, point being, with the Knicks are in the finals, facing off against the Spurs. I'm a little surprised they are. I thought OKC would win, but it's not a shocker because they came in both pretty evenly matched and the Spurs had been beating them all season long. They wound up like winning 8 of 12 games against OKC, which is amazing. But the Knicks, I kind of just want to start off with your general impressions, and then I want to ask you about the fucking cornucopia of narratives that comes out of this series. But just top line impressions, Maddie.
Well, first impression is I can't believe the Knicks are a competent franchise. When Leon Rose took over as president, everything changed. You have to remember, it was Isaiah Thomas. It was other bad GMs. It was James Dolan meddling. You know, we had this forever. And all the years, and Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire produced one season where they won a playoff round.
Most of the years, they had a losing record, but they always had like the highest salary cap. They were a horribly run franchise. Jalen Brunson, shrewd gamble, waited, didn't trade for him, gave him what at the time a lot of people thought was a lot of money, gave him a $104 million 4-year extension. It's worked out. Trades for OG Anunoby, Karl Anthony Towns, Josh Hart have all been gangbusters. If you want to quibble, fine. Mikal Bridges for 5 first-round picks. That was an overpay, but Bridges hasn't been great. So my point here, Bob, is and they fired Thibodeau after Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks on paper had a great record last year, but they took that chance. This is an organization that was always really dumb, and now they're a smart organization. That's one of my biggest takeaways from all this.
I really like that one, and I kind of like the way you chronicled the history of pain there. It occurred to me we're always looking for analogies for the Leafs, and I've often said they're like the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm starting to wonder if they aren't a bit more like the Knicks. It's been a 53-year championship drought for the Knicks, and they, even though they've had lots of iterations of who's the top franchise in the NBA, it's kind of the Knicks, right? Like it should be the Knicks. It shouldn't be Boston. I guess you can argue LA, but it feels like the Knicks have not taken their rightful place at the top of the NBA food chain. And mostly because for most of our lives, they've been underwhelming or not as good as somebody else.
They've been a
So
laughingstock, Michael.
yeah, I kind of feel like they're the Leafs in a sense. Like in a good president, you want them to come in. Like, yeah, like Leafs fans would be shocked if the Leafs were well run,
Correct.
right? And Knicks fans, like, they're so happy, not just because they're here, but because they had so little to root for so long.
It's competence. It's absolute competence with this team. And now it's a nice run. It's a really well constructed team, and that's the main thing. That's my main takeaway. I
It's a
the
really good
off
one, by the way.
yeah the well, Amy was flying. I had a couple days on my own, so I've been really just deep diving my thoughts on this finals. On the other side, this is not like me being pro Nick, but when I look at the Spurs, one of the big stories about the Spurs is how lucky they've been that their being here has nothing to do with organizational excellence. Victor Wembanyama, they had a 14.5% chance of getting the number one pick in 2023. They got it. The next year, they moved up one spot to get Stephen Castle. I don't know if he would have lasted another pick. And then last year, they moved up 6 spots to get the number two pick, to get Dylan Harper. There's a lot of pieces around them. There's a lot of smart things the Spurs have done, but I can't help Bob but think about this finals and go, oh, the Spurs are here because there's never been a luckier team when it comes to the draft lottery. They basically lost and got lucky.
Okay, so counterpoint to that, yes, that's true, but you also have to make the most of your luck. And with Victor Wembanyama, yeah, he's best prospect since LeBron. That's like drafting Connor McDavid. It's a bit of a no-brainer. As the great Brian Burke once said, they won a GD lottery. Pittsburgh did to get Sidney Crosby. They also didn't rush him. They had him on a tight minutes window for most of the early part of his career. They handled him really. They had Pop working with him. Was he going to be great? Yeah, he was probably always going to be great. But he also could have been hurt. He also could have been not surrounded by the right pieces. They went out and got De'Aaron Fox because they needed someone to run the team. If you remember in that first season, there was really no one to run the team and they looked kind of lost out there. But they built it piece by piece. Dylan Harper, yeah, he looks like he might be one of the best guards of the young new generation. They didn't trade down. They could have said, we got to surround Victor with vets that are going to help him, and that would be reasonable. But they chose that to do. Stephen Castle was pick number four. Ask the Atlanta Hawks with Zachary Risacher how much they'd like to redo that one. So, they did smart things.
They
They've
did.
and to the point I brought up Edmonton. Edmonton had 4 first-round picks and haven't won a cup. They drafted the wrong guys. They developed them wrong. Taylor Hall looks like he might do great for Carolina. So you got to make the most of your luck. So hats off to the Spurs.
And by the way, everything you said is correct. And those are all the correct counters because they did. And I like your point about the minutes. They never rushed Wembanyama. So I agree with you. I will just say this. If the Spurs in the last three draft lotteries didn't have bad luck, but didn't have good luck, just had the statistical odds of most likely result, they would have had Scoot Henderson, Ron Holland, and the point guard that the Nets took in 2025, Igor Demin. I don't know if that team is in the NBA Finals, even with a smart franchise.
You don't think that Mike Tirico's yelling out, Igor Demin's time has arrived.
Demin domination is here.
Okay, so this sets up the first question I have beautifully, actually, Matt. Thank you for that. What is a bigger deal for the NBA? The fact that Wemby is in the final or the fact that the Knicks are in the final? Bigger deal for the NBA as a whole.
I think it's the Knicks, and this is not a bias, because Wembanyama feels inevitable. In the only sport that you get inevitable is basketball. As we've discussed a billion times, one player has more impact on winning or losing. So once you saw Wembanyama as a rookie and what he could do, you're like, holy shit. And then with that draft luck, you realized it's pretty much inevitable they're going to be in the finals. But to have the Knicks in the finals, the history, haven't done it for ages. And the Knicks are actually likable. They're led by a undersized guard. You had this with Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas, and that's it. So they're likable. The only thing not likable about the Knicks are Knicks fans after they win a playoff game. So I think the bigger deal is New York being there.
Even the video of the fans celebrating in New York. New York has a flavor that's different than anywhere else, and not a lot feels justified when they get into it, particularly on the basketball side. But now all of a sudden, Spike Lee seems less irritating. They've kind of earned it. Okay, so I want to ask you a basketball question. And it sounds ridiculous, but I don't think it is when you get past the surface of it. You, Matt Cause, are the GM of this thing. Draft this series. Would you take Jalen Brunson or Wembanyama as your first pick to play in this series?
Wemby.
Yeah? I'm not sure. I don't think you need to explain why, but explain why.
I have to, between Wembanyama and Brunson, my God, Wembanyama, he'll win you games without offense. He'll win you games scoring less than 20. He is the only guy that can block a 7-footer's 3-pointer and then get next to the rim a second later. He is the ultimate cheat code in the NBA right now. And I think the only reason you would take Brunson is you're just worried that that body of Wembanyama's cannot hold up over the long term.
Here's my counter to that and why I might take Brunson. And this maybe is stupid. And this might be like taking Sam Bowie ahead of Jordan, like back in the day. But Wemby had three mediocre games against OKC. I'm not saying, like, he had three mediocre games offensively, but there was even two games where they kind of took him out of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I've seen Jalen Brunson be taken out of any game in these playoffs. In fact, if anything, he led that incredible charge against the Cavs in that first game. Not that Wembanyama couldn't have done that, but Jalen Brunson, you know, we talk about inevitable, who's the Thanos. There's something about that guy. And I'm not saying Victor isn't the most talented player. Like, of all the players in the NBA who seem, like, not afraid of the stage, Jalen Brunson might be number one. And there's a lot of guys who could be on that list. The number one guy who rises to the moment in the NBA right now might be Brunson. And so who's going to take all of that energy of the Garden, which is going to be insane, and would, like, think about the Leafs in Game 7s and how they got crushed by the fans and the pressure that was on them. Brunson seems to take that and convert that into buckets. And so I don't know if I can vote against him, even against the most talented player in the world and maybe the most talented player ever.
Everyone listening thinks you're a fool, but right. I'm gonna provide some evidence for you.
Thanks.
What we're seeing from Brunson in the playoffs this year, he's done this every year. He did this in Dallas. It's the reason why he got on the map when Luka Doncic got hurt and Brunson carried the team.
This is who he is.
And who he's always been.
Yeah. And now he's got a team around him that is able to take all of that focus and direction and leadership, and he's able to lift them all, like Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, Cat to a certain extent. All of these guys are better because Brunson is out there, and there's something Look, this is probably non-rational, but I want to see how the Spurs do in game three. If the Knicks split in San Antonio and they've got to go home for a pivotal game three at the Garden with that crowd, I know Brunson can do it. I'm not sure if the Spurs can do it. They did it against OKC and everyone's yelled they've arrived. They haven't. They made the final. You've arrived when you've won. So
Yeah.
we'll see.
And also Oklahoma City, when
Bang
they
up.
lost when they lost AJ Mitchell, and when they
Jalen Williams.
and Jalen Williams a year ago was second team All NBA. That means he's one of the 10 best players in the NBA. I felt so bad for Shai, and he did everything he could. I don't get, as I've said this 100 times, I never gave a shit about the Stephen Castle turnovers because he was put in such a hard spot early in that series. Just like I didn't care about Shai's shooting percentage because he was being guarded by Castle. And if he got past Castle, there's Wemby. And they ran out of offensive options, and Chet Holmgren went full Ben Simmons in the last couple of games.
I'm not sure that the moment won't get to the Spurs. We saw that it didn't against OKC, but this is something even bigger. This is the final. The final against the Knicks. They're not playing the NBA equivalent of the Carolina Hurricanes, where it's like, oh, we have a passionate fan base. And no. This is the single craziest fan base in all of sports. I think they can do it. I think they certainly, like, it's not implausible to think that they would, but prove it to me first.
Yeah, well, this one's different than Knicks in 99. Everyone knew they weren't beating the Spurs, the Duncan, David Robinson Spurs.
Yeah,
Just like,
it was like when Philly under Iverson played the Lakers, right? Like you hope they win a game and maybe two and keep it kind of competitive.
yeah, and they won game one because Iverson went supernova, and then the Lakers dummied them in the next four games. This is not that. The Spurs should be the favorite. They are the favorite. We're at the point where you'd be surprised if the Knicks won it all. You would not be shocked. And also, one last point about Brunson. Part of it is about why the doubt with Brunson, even though he's done it every time, is just our prejudice against size. If he looked like Anthony Edwards and had the exact same production, we'd be like, oh, that dude can get it done. But it's because he is a couple inches smaller.
Because it's basketball, when we see a giant, we tend to favor that because it's a sport that loves size. And for good reason. Historically, most great players are tall. When there's a small guy, you always believe this can't really happen. And Jalen Brunson, in some ways, is almost as amazing a story as Wemby is. Not exactly, because Wemby just has physical gifts that are like nobody's ever had them. But in another way, I think we discount the improbability of a small guard playing this well and leading a team to the final and being legitimately compared in importance to a 7-foot-5 monster. Jalen Brunson's amazing. I just think he's not just a great basketball player, he's a great winner. And the cup is all about, or the final is all about winning time. Anyway,
Yeah.
unsung heroes, Matt. I'm going to give you a couple from each team, and I want to see who you think could be the unsung hero.
Yeah.
On the Knicks, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson. If you had to pick one of them, if the Knicks win, who's the unsung hero? Who's it going to be?
OG Anunoby. It's OG Anunoby because he has more of the consistent offensive game. He's their second leading scorer. He's not going to be shooting like 60% as what he was. But it's OG Anunoby, who also has very good metrics, the smart stats, whenever he's guarded Victor Wembanyama. He's been able to do as well as any human being can be expected. So it's OG Anunoby, who also fully healthy. All that time off helps that hamstring.
Ding, ding, ding with the defensive part of this. I'm with you 100% on OG because if he can guard Victor credibly, nobody can guard him. If he can at least do a credible job, not only does that, like Alex Caruso was doing at various times, like it's very impressive, but it also means Cat doesn't have to try to guard him and get carved up. It's like you fix two problems with one player, and if they win, OG's gonna we're gonna have to look back at this and say that was an incredible job he did. And he might do it.
Yeah, and listen, it's a reason to root for if you're a casual rooting for the Knicks, because we all loved OG Anunoby's time here. We all felt bad that he was injured, wasn't able to participate in the playoffs in 2019. So the Anunoby story is a cool one.
I'm gonna do my unsung hero for the Spurs, and then you weigh in. I think it's Devin Vassell, because he's just really solid, and he rarely like he's not a spectacular player, and sometimes he gets lost because his talent's not as great as some of the other players there. But he's very professional, right? Almost like I almost took Harrison Barnes, because there's gonna have to be someone who does a professional job at least in two games to get you the 15 points you need and the five or six key rebounds or assists. Like, somebody's going to have to do the job, because somebody in that front line isn't going to. The playoffs is all about matchups. They know who's like the Knicks know who's good on the Spurs. They're planning to stop them. Somebody has to fill that gap that is going to be created by a good team with a good strategy against your best players.
And there's a
Harrison
league wide
Barnes.
open.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It creates opportunities for that fifth guy on the floor. And I kind of feel like Devin Vassell has shown like he can be that guy. I don't know that he's going to be, but it's going to be somebody like him, probably him or Barnes.
And Vassell is, as I said, they'll leave him open. If he hits his first two shots, then how much does that impact the Knicks defense? Like, oh, wait a minute. Do we have to spend a little more energy on him? Then all the other guys are open.
Well, when you look at like OKC had to, or the Spurs had to adjust for OKC because Alex Caruso was hitting shots, right? So we've actually seen this in practice. The first thought was stop Shea and let everyone else beat us. And then they realized, oh, but the other guys can beat us. So then it actually flipped and it was like, okay, Shea, you get 35, but we're not letting these other guys fill the gaps.
Yeah, and that's what they did. By the way, it's not an unsung hero. Is there anyone who's going to have a tougher offseason than Chet Holmgren?
My Jesus, my buddy texted me and said on Reddit they're calling him Ozempic Abraham Lincoln.
Wow, the internet's mean.
It's just but funny, but funny. And that's coming from you, the
We've all grown since 2000 when we
heckler.
took someone's worst moment on this planet and used it as a snarky heckle.
Yeah. It was funny though,
I
man.
regret
We
nothing.
were a little drunk. We were a little tipsy. We went for a few drinks. That was like one of the great Bob Mack nights of all time. And there's been some really good ones.
Yeah.
But that was just you and me after the show saying, "Hey, do you want to see if there's any tickets available?" We went down, we found scalpers. Was it game four?
Because the first two games were in New York. I believe it was a
Yeah.
five game series.
I think
And
it was three or four. I can't remember.
yeah, because it wasn't the clinching one. By the way, when we were kids and we would hear our parents or grandparents talk about what you could buy for a nickel, and it was like, did you live in the Industrial Revolution? And now, if I tell my 26-year-old producer that we were on the floor, we weren't courtside, but we were on the floor for a Toronto Knicks playoff game. And the ticket was, I think, no more than 200. And that was
We paid
that's COVID.
200 each. We paid 200 each.
You say that to someone now, they're like, what, Grandpa? Like, what era were you living in? Like that, it is crazy to think about. And that was a lot of money, but with inflation and what it is now, like that was a cheap ticket compared to what things go for now.
That really jumps out at me too, because if it had been like $1,000, we wouldn't have done it. We were young guys, but we both had jobs. We didn't have families, so we went down there and had a couple drinks, and it was like, you know what? If we find a ticket that will do, we'll. But the fact that it was so close, like we were under the, like we were at the end, right? Like by the basket, about 8 rows back.
Yeah, but like on the ground. We were
Yeah.
on the ground. It was a
Which
great game.
really helped your heckle.
I couldn't have done it higher up. If you need to know that there's a chance the player is going to hear you. And I mean, again, I did once get security come to me a couple of years later. They found my heckling of Isaiah Thomas, though factually accurate, they wanted no part of it. I stand by that as well.
As you should. Any other thoughts on the final?
I just,
Anything that you're really excited about, like as a basketball nerd?
well, as a basketball nerd, I think just the most fascinating thing is how do you defend Wemby? How much is it one on one? How much of it do you, how many times is it two bigs on him? How do they keep Karl Anthony Towns from dumb fouls? To me, that's the number one thing is how will they guard Wemby? That's the biggest thing.
As a basketball nerd, I'm really curious for the Karl Anthony Towns redemption narrative. He's always been seen as an enormous talent. He was a first overall pick. He always flirts with the all NBA team, sometimes on, sometimes off. But he's just one of those guys that it's who's excellent and also drives you crazy. It's a weird spot in sports where you go, God, I'd love to have that guy. God, I'd hate to have that guy.
Yeah, he's in the he's a poster boy for that, you know,
He's like
like
Julius Randle, but more, right? Where you look at it and go, man, we could really use a guy like that. Boy, I would never want a guy like that on my team.
you know, reminds me of we got traded yesterday. AJ Brown, great wide receiver, and at some points like, oh, I don't want that guy on my team, but he was also a big reason why the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Born to frustrate.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence felt like he was going to be that guy, where he's too good to give up on and too shit to win with.
Yeah.
And it feels like he's kind of coming through that a little bit.
We'll see.
We'll see,
I'm
right?
still not seeing. Yeah.
It's funny. Like, it's a really interesting, weird, and sports franchises. This is one of the things that kills franchises for a generation when you make the bet on the wrong guy, but you're paralyzed. It's kind of like Gavin McKenna and the draft that's coming up for the Leafs. There's the fear that if you pass on this guy, you're screwed, right?
Yeah.
But he might not be the right guy. It's that paralysis between I want to be proactive, but I also don't want to make a catastrophic mistake that's going to kill my franchise.
Oh yeah, because it's still the Leafs need elite defensemen. They've had elite wingers, they've had elite centers, they've never had elite defensemen, and there's a couple really good ones out there, but the defensemen often take it longer to develop, and that if McKenna is great offensively, then you'll look like dummies.
Cat frustration is that here's a guy who can handle the ball, can shoot the three, who's legitimate 7 feet tall, not only will put up 25 points, but will get you 12 boards. And yet somehow you always feel like you're holding your breath when he's out there because
Yes.
he's going to do something stupid or somebody's going to carve him up. He's the great player you apologize for.
Yeah, he's trick or treat. You know, he's
Yeah, great way to put it. I love that's a great designation, by the way, the trick or treat player.
yeah. And he's
I
the
love that.
high end one because his high end is I will carry us, I can win us a couple games, and he's also I can lose you a couple games. You have to be talented enough to be able to win a game on your own. There's only a small amount of those guys, and yet he can also sink you at the same time.
What's more fun, watching Timothée Chalamet and Spike Lee and Ben Stiller and all the stars for the Knicks? Or seeing the old guys from the Spurs, like Tim Duncan with his wise man of the mountains look, or David Robinson. Like, what gives you more joy when they do the cutaways to the crowd?
I mean, I guess I have to say the Knicks, but I do love the odd couple that is Duncan and Robinson just hanging out together. You know, they are a fun contrast to see sitting next to each other.
Tim Duncan to me feels like a documentary waiting to happen. Like
Oh,
he's like,
yeah.
right? Like, I don't know a lot about him, and he's always wanted it that way. But I almost feel like there's a Ricky Williams kind of fascinating character in there, like someone who just sees the world in a different way. The Spurs have always been a magnet for those kinds of players, players that just see the world in a different way. And there's something about Duncan, as particularly with this new gray dreadlocks thing he's got going on, where I'm just like, okay, Sensei, teach me about basketball.
Oh yeah, before there was Wembanyama going out with the monks, there was Popovich flying to Australia or somewhere there, and they would go on long swims together. Like
I think
there is
it was the Virgin Islands, actually,
Virgin
because
Islands. Sorry,
that's where he's
yeah.
from.
Yeah.
Yeah, and swimming out to like a cove and like you're 200 feet offshore and then just talking about life.
Yeah, there's definitely a good documentary there in Tim
Actually,
now. Yeah.
Popovich is the documentary that needs to be made. I want to see the four-part Netflix special on Popovich because I am convinced he was a spy.
Oh yeah. Kind of like Christopher Lee. Actually, we'll have to save that for another day. We've got 8 minutes left, and we could do Christopher Lee talk, which would be incredibly irresponsible. Yes, the Greg Popovich documentary would be fantastic. Also, because he loves wine.
Well, and that's what makes him a great guy. Oh, that before I forget, what's the bottle of wine that you will celebrate with if the Knicks win?
Okay, so that's got to be one of the best bottles I have. We will go with. Chateau Pichon-Longueville. And I left out a word, like Comtesse de Lalande. Anyway, second growth Bordeaux 2015. I'll decant that fucker for 4 or 5 hours. I'll have that.
Is that a long time to decant something?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Is
Full decant.
that like, okay. So I guess what you're saying here to a person who doesn't drink is you will do all the things necessary. You will put extra special care into making it a perfect glass.
Exactly. Best way to put it.
All right. Well, let's go to the other playoff that's about the final that's about to start. And this one starts up tonight, and it's the NHL Cup final. And in a lot of ways, it's the opposite of the NBA final in that nobody said, God, like, I'm so thrilled about Carolina's rise. And Vegas feels like they were so close to having Habs versus Colorado, Montreal versus Quebec, two crazy fan bases, a Canadian team, the Habs back in there. Like, it could have been so exciting. And this one feels a little wah, wah.
Well, yeah, because Carolina's greatest strength is it doesn't matter who the player is. They get it done. It's like, okay, so the individual and stars don't matter. That's great for the super geek, but for the rest of us, can I have a star? On the other side, Vegas, it's like you had fewer wins than the Columbus Blue Jackets. And like the Marner story is played out for clickbait and rage. To me, and this is my opening thought today, and I'll go quick because we have 5.5 minutes left. The most compelling person in this entire cup final is John Tortorella, the Winston Wolf of the NHL. Someone's in trouble, bring him in, and he comes in and he's helped to fix. And he came out and said, I'm a guidance counselor. So you have loud, arrogant Tortorella seeming to be honest about saying, hey, my job is a simple one here.
I like the Rob Brind'Amour story in that, he's a really good coach and he's taken this team to the conference final over and over again. He's finally broken through. I like the Eric Tolsky analytics thing. Like, this could be the final win of this would be like if Daryl Morey's Sixers finally won and the process actually happened. But I think what saves this for me a little bit is that the Vegas Golden Knights are starting to feel like the Panthers did, where they're like the bad guys.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, you got Carter Hart, you got Tortorella. For Leafs fans, the madness of Mitch Marner. Jack Eichel's a bit of a misfit. At least if you're a Buffalo fan, you probably have a tortured relationship with his history. There's something about that team that feels like, just the way they screwed Bruce Cassidy and they refused to let him, like they're just like the win at all costs team. They've got a bit of the black hat going on, and that's good for the sport.
Yeah, like what? And let me say on the front end. What I'm about to propose, I don't want anyone to be hurt. I want everyone to be fine. No long-term repercussions. But what you need is game one, like Mitch Marner, brutal boarding penalty on Sebastian Aho to really get the black hat for Vegas in game one. Because then if you have that, any series becomes good when you have a defined hero and a defined villain.
That's a great point, actually. One of the tricky things about these finals is, there's no heat between these two teams. Like Carolina and Vegas. No, it's not even like, Boston and LA used to be in basketball, where even though they're on different coasts, they kept facing each other over and over again. Like if it had been Edmonton and Florida again this year, we'd be like, oh, there's bad blood there. But this is just like you pull two teams out of a hat and said, now hate each other.
Yeah, like as we talked about, you talked about Eric Tolsky. I've talked about Tortorella and Brind'Amour. You don't want battle of two very well-run organizations coming tonight.
Defensively responsible.
Have you seen their cap sheet? It's fantastic. Everyone under $9 million doing battle tonight.
Nobody finds a two-way forward for cheap quite like the Hurricanes do. This is not sexy. It doesn't really
No,
feel like
it's not.
attractive, does it? No.
Not at all.
The
Not at
Freddie
all.
Anderson narrative is interesting, and the reason why I think Vegas is going to win is I have a bad feeling he's going to turn into a pumpkin because his numbers against Montreal actually weren't amazing, and he barely saw any shots. Like he had a sub-900 save percentage during against the Habs, and as good as Carolina played in front of him, like. He didn't lose them the series, obviously. They won handily. Montreal was a bit of a fake a conference final team. Like, I don't think they were as good as Buffalo, but they got really hot goaltending and beat them in seven. So I don't know. I just got this bad feeling. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like a narrative anxiety around Freddie Anderson. that he's going to like turn into a pumpkin and it's going to be ugly. And then Mitch Marner's going to win the Conn Smythe, which will be, I don't care who you are and how much you justify it and rationalize it, it's got to hurt a little.
Of course, it's supposed to. How can it not? I would say the best advantage for Freddie Anderson, much like the same thing we're talking about the NBA with OG Anunoby, plenty of rest, and I do believe a couple of the games there's an extra day off, and I think that can help Freddie Anderson. Just because of his injury past, the more time off it can only help him.
It's funny, I'm looking at my notes and it's like Carolina's power play and Sebastian Aho and the third line of Carolina and and I don't care. I'd rather ask you about some of these other things before we go. Do you have a pick in this one? I'm going to take Vegas.
I got Carolina in six.
I got Vegas in six. All right, Spider-Noir out on Amazon Prime. Are you going to watch?
Of course, I'm going to watch. If Nick Cage is involved, I'm always going to watch.
Speaking of cages, UFC 250 for Trump's birthday. Are you going to
I am not going to watch.
watch? I'm so fucking mad at MAGA for so many reasons. But as I said to someone the other day, worst of all, they ruined UFC for me.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I just
100%.
can't watch anymore.
Yeah. We got 40 seconds left. A prediction, Knicks and Spurs.
Oh, I didn't give you one. Yeah, I'm going to say Knicks in six.
I will say Knicks in seven, and everyone needs to flee the city of New York.
All right,
Not.
Mom. Good luck with that.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.